Anytime I speak, you need to know it. I say nothing but important stuff. The DNA ladder is really not a ladder, or it doesn't even look like a ladder, until you're done electrophoresing. So it's often, instead of calling it a ladder, it's often the solution that you put in there is sometimes called a molecular mass ruler. Ruler and ladder are both descriptive, though. Where the hell did I put mine? The reason it's called a ladder is that when you do the electrophoresis, if these are the wells up here, this first lane, we'll pretend, is the one that you put the ladder into. The ladder is, chemically speaking, a mixture, a pre-made mixture of fragments, in this case of DNA, of different sizes. There's a whole bunch of different sizes. But the sizes are already known because it's designed for us. And so, since they're all different sizes and we're using electrophoresis and size matters, all these different sized particles move at their own speed. They all start at the start line, but they separate from each other because the smaller ones will go faster than the bigger ones. And therefore, when you finally visualize the bands, you'll see several bands within the same lane that look like rungs of a ladder. That's why it's called that. But this is an important thing to have on your gel if you want to know what the size is of your unknown samples, the ones in the other lanes. This brings up the important point that you can never compare one gel to another. All you can do is compare a lane within a gel to another lane within that same gel. Because I mentioned the things about the particles that matter, such charge, size, and shape, but there's other things that matter as well, like how thick the gel is. And everyone didn't use exactly the same concentration of agarose, right? Some of them might be thicker gels, but it's going to slow everything down, right? So if you have two gels that are different consistencies, you can't compare them at all. Also, the amount of time you let it run matters. If you don't let them run at exactly the same time, everything's going to move farther on the gel that ran longer. But within one gel, oh, and the voltage also matters, which might be different on different gels. But if you're talking about just one gel, all of those things that aren't properties of the particles themselves, voltage, time, and thickness of the gel, those are all held constant for that one gel. They all get exactly the same dose of everything, right? So the whole idea of the molecular mass ruler, or the ladder, is that since you know the values of for the sizes of these chunks, after you have your gel visualized, you can put those values next to the bands, just like putting numbers next to the tick marks on a ruler. Right? And just remember, the smaller numbers are going to be down here farther from the well because they traveled the fastest. So whatever the values for your ruler are, which are given by whatever the manufacturer is, you'll put those numbers there. And therefore, in your unknown sample, it might not be that a band matches up perfectly with one of the ladder bands, but if it's between two ladder bands, you know that it's between whatever size this is and whatever size that is. So it gives you a way to measure the size of your unknown DNA. And that's important in today's specific example because that's the way you're going to be able to tell which version of this ALU DNA you have. All right? And so the whole point here is if you are homozygous, both of your DNA pieces from both of your parents will be the same, right? They'll be the same size. They'll be recognized by last week's PCR identically. And therefore, they'll be exactly the same size, and they'll travel at the same speed, and they'll be within the same band. So if you're homozygous, your sampled lane will show only one band. How do you determine whether it's the dominant or the recessive version? If they're right on top of each other because you're homozygous. by the size. That's why you need the ladder, right? The homozygous, the dominant version is a different size compared to the recessive version. So that's how you tell whether your band is which version. If you're heterozygous, you'll have two bands, right? Because the bigger one won't move as far as the smaller one. And if you're homozygous recessive, you'll have one band as well, but it will travel a different distance compared to a homozygous dominant individual because they're different sizes. And then the final point is that any band is not a single piece of DNA. If you had a single piece of DNA, which would move through the gel, you would not be able to visualize it even using staining or gel red, because one piece of DNA is invisible. It's invisibly small. So you have to appreciate that every band that you eventually see is really millions of copies, identical copies of that same sized fragment. They therefore moved at the same speed and landed at the same spot, but since there's so many of them, it makes the band thick enough that you can actually see it. That's the whole reason we needed PCR. If we didn't use PCR, we would have invisible bands because we wouldn't have enough DNA to look at. PCR faithfully copied them into billions of copies so that we will get hopefully nice thick bands. All right.